Thanks, Jennifer. Thanks for that great overview. And good morning, everyone. Yeah, so we're opening into Mauna Maya today. I just wanted to kind of step back and say, you know, why is it that in this particular practice, we work with emotions so deeply? Or we share these ways to proactively engage whatever's arising, which, by the way, what Jennifer just went through with you and walked us through on page 77, that is what makes IRS distinct and unique from other forms of meditation, especially mindfulness meditation. Because oftentimes they're noting, but they're noting in a cognitive way, right? This isn't a negative thing. It's just a different form. And then they emphasize witness or awareness, you know. But there's not a lot of, or historically there hasn't been a lot of proactively engaging emotions, right? So you're just noting what's moving through. But after a while, as we label it thought or emotion or whatever, there are certain ones that come circling back around, don't they? Because it's a myth that when we open up in meditation that we're just going to be checking into the Om Hotel and be blissed out and hanging out on a white puffy cloud all the time. And, you know, people think, you tell them you're a meditation teacher and they're like, oh, you must be so at ease all the time.
Stephanie, can we pause right. You for a second?
What we do know is that, and for those of you that are more longer term meditators, when we open into meditation and we take it seriously, we're opening up the trapped memories, things that surprise us. The corners of the room come out and they want to be seen. Okay. 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 Could you hear me okay, Denny Shea? Can you give me a yes or a no?
Yes, and your video just popped on as most of us turned our videos off here online. So we'll stay with videos off for now and see how that goes.
Okay, great. Thanks. So, excuse me. So these are really skillful ways that we incorporate into the group practices. You'll see them embedded into the scripts. And these are also ways that we can support ourselves in our own personal practice of IREST. By proactively engaging when these things come up, they may need to be met, but we don't want to just meet them through an analyzing conceptual way. If so, then we're just doing everyday thinking. We want to break that habitual conditioned way. And by meeting it non-judgmentally, non-analyzing, non-conceptually, which is the somatic piece that we're embodying, that's why this is all so important, right? So this is what we're going to be bringing in to our one-on-one practice. As well. That's the bridge from what Jennifer's been talking about to where we're headed in this next section. And because we all want to be seen, these are just basic human needs. We want to be seen. We want to be heard. We want to feel a sense of connection. And we want to feel a sense of belonging. And so when we proactively engage, and just by meeting ourselves and feeling what's happening somatically, like Jennifer was saying, the difference between noting from an IRES perspective versus maybe a more traditional mindfulness perspective is we're not just noting it cognitively. We're peeling back that conceptual label. And we're feeling it non-conceptually, non-analyzing, somatically in our body, right? That's a big difference. That's our start. And then any other of the proactive ways that we're going to meet it, they build on that, right? Because what happens when we meet ourselves in this somatic way, when we slow things down and we look at our whole system and find out what else is going on here, that's a beautiful way to see ourselves, isn't it? To feel seen, to feel heard. And by doing so, we're going to have a deeper connection with ourselves. And as we connect with ourselves, we can start to feel that connection as we feel more authentic to be able to be ourselves in the world, and we're going to have a sense of belonging. So this is what makes iRest another portion of distinct and unique as a practice, right? And this is what we weave in as we're doing the one-on-one this morning. So I want to talk a little bit about working with dyads. And as I've been saying, it's a way that we're just meeting one human being with another, and we're learning some skillful ways to communicate in a way where we're not trying to fix or change. So you understand why we've been talking so much about this welcoming presence and what this is. And we're looking at this deeper sense of how we can stay connected instead of just staying up in our heads and staying intellectual. So in this practice, we're moving from our heads to our hearts. We're moving from the thinking mind to the feeling body. So we're emphasizing this embodied understanding. And what we're opening into is having a sense of resonance with the person that we're sitting with, or having a sense of resonance within the class of students that we're teaching. Now, we go into this a lot more in level two, but I'd like to just define resonance and presence and lay the ground, because it's already happening. Because we're already in this field of being, whether you're at home online or whether you're here in the studio. We have this interconnected field that we're tapping into, right? Because we have this deep sense of being, our presence, this field that is underlying each of us, that's interconnecting us. So resonance can be something that a teacher is feeling with students in the room, but as students, or for those of you that are here, or those of you at home, you may start to feel the resonance too. We can all feel being to some degree, likely, as we're tapping into that in the meditation. So resonance is that shared field that we have between ourselves and others in the room. And look, this isn't woo-woo. This is just this. We all know this. Like, you know, when you've walked into a room, maybe you're walking into some house party or something. House party, listen, man, from the 80s. Whoop, 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 whoop. A dinner party. We're going to adult this. A dinner party. And you walk in, and maybe you're looking for where to put your coats, and you walk in the room, in an offshoot room, that because you're looking for something, and all of a sudden there's a couple there. You don't know them, but you can feel the tension in the room. You could cut through it with a knife, right? You don't know what's been going on. Nobody's saying a word, but you're like, whoa, there's something happening in this room. That's resonance, right? That's resonance. We just pick up on what's in the room. And it happens because we are this greater field, because of presence or being. We are this field. So when we're feeling ourselves in our presence, we're attuning more through the resonance of what else is coming up. So resonance is really just the vibration that we feel in the field. Everything emits a vibration. We're all like these radio transmitters emitting things all the time. It's just some of us are more attuned to it than others, right? So the resonance itself is the actual vibration that we're feeling. Right? And that, just like you could sense the vibration of anger if you walk in the room, or you can sense the joy that's bubbling up in someone. You know, watch the negativity bias when we talk about emotions today and we go into beliefs tomorrow. You know, we all want to meet the core stuff. And so but there is a negativity bias, right? Where our brain just is wired to remember the negative, because if we do, it helps us with survival and to stay safe. But we have the positive emotions too, the fun emotions. We equally can identify with them. But remember, the kosha is we're feeling something all the way to the point where we can release that identification. We realize it's something that's coming and going, and there's something else here that's untouched, unchanged, that's completely transparent and still. But it's a dynamic stillness, because we also can feel the vibration of everything. Okay? So we're opening up to resonance and presence, and we want to be so familiar within ourselves that we can track this in our system. You can feel it in the room. For those of you that are already teachers, whether you teach in education or some other way, or whether you're a yoga or meditation teacher already, or some other form, we can feel it, can't we? You can feel when there's energy in the room where there's just an area of students where it just feels kind of like dull, right? That's resonance. It just feels dull. And we can use our presence. And maybe, you know, if I had more room, I usually walk a lot when I'm teaching. I sit, but I stand at these trainings and I walk around. And I you know, because of the camera, I'm a little bit more limited. But, you know, if I was offering an iris practice and I had a room of 50 people here, I would let them know always that I'm going to get up and walk around. But we have the capacity then, if we feel that duller energy or that, you know, that lethargy in some part of the room, I could just walk over and just teach from over there. Maybe raise my voice a little bit so that they're feeling my presence a little bit more. And then that may lift the energy because they're feeling it in their field, right? They get the resonance of that. So, you know, so what we're doing then when one-on-one, don't be surprised if as you're sitting with a partner one-on-one this morning and we're opening up to emotions, you may start to feel something in your body, like a heaviness in your belly or something catching in your throat. Ooh, sorry about that. Something catching in your throat. And then the next thing you know, your partner says, you know, I feel like a block in my throat. Or I feel something happening in my belly. Don't be surprised. You're just picking up on the resonance. And in level two, we do this a lot more. And we play with what's mine, what's in the field, you know. But I just want to name this because we want right now for level one, what I want you to do is start to track this in yourself. Because what I really want you to track is when you're starting to want to change the other. Or you're starting to want to change yourself. Right? And we can feel that in our body somatically before, and it can help us because it may be so ingrained and so habitual that we don't realize it cognitively, but we start to pay attention. Here's where we get that underlying message. And we might start to see these subtle layers of ways that we've been judging or wanting to change or wanting to get rid of. And if we're really opening as a welcoming presence, we want to set that free to be here, but then feel back even further so that we can unpack that now too. Because we want to be able to learn how to meet all of it without trying to fix or change so that it can reveal whatever it is that it needs to reveal. So that's the biggest part of how I want you to pay attention to this in level one, this resonance that's happening, this presence, the vibrations that are coming up, mostly so you can start to see when, oh, I'm uncomfortable. What do I need to do here? I want to fix this. I want them to feel better. I want to feel better. I don't know what to do. Right? And so we have these, speaking of, I don't know what to do. If you could get out your reference guide again. I referenced this yesterday. We're going to be using the worksheet. How am I doing on time? Oh, good. I have 4 minutes. I'm going to walk you through the worksheet that we're going to use this morning together. But before I do, if you could go into your reference guide on page 54 in the upper right-hand corner of your reference guide, that's where there's some phrases that could direct someone towards their firsthand experience. And these are good to have next to you. And, you know, I have a different list here as well that I pulled from this, but it's all embedded here, so I might not go in order. But sometimes if we're not quite sure what to say and we feel that little niggling that wants to do something, rather than being directive, we could say something like, can you say more about that? Just, can you say more about that? We're becoming exquisitely curious in this practice, because remember, it's a practice of self-inquiry. That gives the person room to just dive right in and be like, oh yeah, what else? What else wants to be seen here? Things like, what's wanting to emerge right now, right? How does that feel if I ask you, just what's wanting to emerge right now? And you just open up and you feel into your body. Can you see how open that is, how inviting that is? we're becoming a welcoming is inviting, isn't it? It's holding the space for somebody to feel completely free to open into whatever wants to be met so that they can be seen, heard, connected, and belonging within themselves, self-regulation, and with us, co-regulation. I'm going to talk about co-regulation and self-regulation more, I think, tomorrow or the next day. Can you stay with that and see what's present? When I do my co-meditation Daya demo with Carrie in a little bit, you're going to hear me invite her to just say, feel that. And then I'm going to be quiet. Can you stay with that and see what's present? And then I'm going to be quiet. That's going to help your partner to feel. We need to feel what's coming up. If we keep bombarding them with questions, it's going to stay cognitive. Can you see that's up in the head? But we want to ask questions and then we want to be quiet. Feel down, feel your inner resource or feel the welcoming presence, feel being. Be open. And then that allows them to see what's going to come up for them. Take a moment, feel if anything else is wanting to emerge. As you're feeling this or as you're thinking this, where in your body do you experience any accompanying sensations? Take a moment and see what else wants to be seen or felt or heard. Right? Can you see how inviting these are and open-ended and non-directive? It should help them to peel back the labels or the layers. Take a moment, see if there's anything else that wants to be met. I'm kind of repeating myself. And then one thing to realize is that when someone is first tapping into their own presence or stillness or being, sometimes that can be misperceived as nothing's happening. I'm here to tell you nothing is something, especially in this practice. So if you're a partner, if you're the one facilitating and they say, well, there's nothing here, I'd say, well, I'm curious, when you're experiencing nothing, I'm wondering what's happening in your body. Could you describe what this nothingness feels like? Or is there an essence to nothing? And then just see what happens. We're being open and receptive. Welcoming is being open and receptive to what is. And being curious can lead to an openness, a sense of wonder and delight in the end. So, okay, I'm getting, so we're as much as possible, we're not judging, but I know I need to walk through this script with you. So let me do that. Hopefully you looked through. This starts on page 59 and it goes through page 62. So I'm going to go through it rather quickly. So it starts off, and the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 is exactly like yesterday. Exactly. It's the same base. So we could go through that over and over and over again. The difference is how it's not exactly like yesterday is yesterday we were, remember, these are worksheets to help you learn the koshas. So where we're headed, we're not going to keep specifically to one kosha. But for the purposes of today, we're going to be asking about emotion, okay? So that's the only way that it's different. And then we're gonna offer an experiment. And we could cycle through 1 through 6 over and over again. And then at a certain point, I'm going to find a way to offer the experiment. It's going to feel a little imposed because this is practice, right? What I'm doing here is something I could do, but I would wait until it feels right normally. But for now, we're going to do it. So find a way at some point in your practice with your partner, and you're going to ask them their permission. Would you be willing to try something, right? And if they say yes, then you're going to offer them to step back and observe the emotion or whatever is arising. You could name it and observe it as if it's an object out in front of you. And feel yourself as the witness of this emotion. Please describe your experience as a witness and then just be quiet. Now, it may be confusing. They may not know how to describe themselves as a witness. And then you're just going to go with what is. But it might be that you're just giving them room to feel what it's like, to feel themselves as a witness to what's coming and going. Sometimes you can say it's like you're in a theater and it's up on the stage and you're sitting in the seats, right? What's that felt sense of being the witness? And then you could say, now feel the emotion again. So that's number 7. Then after they describe And you're repeating that. And then you can say number 7. Now feel the emotion again as sensation. Feel how it is to be identified or fused with the emotion. And please describe your experience. So we're inviting them to step back in, try it on. We're not separate from it. What's it like to feel it? Describe that. Then you're going to have them go back and forth a few times and then feel both. When we feel both, the potential is it opens up a portal where we might drop into being or something else is going to be revealed, right? And then we have the integration questions. So I am going to go by this script word by word. I encourage you to have the script out in front of you while I'm doing this with my partner so that you can track along. And then I'll have some time at the end for debrief. So I'm going to give you a break. We'll have a 12-minute break. Yeah, Denny Shea. So we'll come back since I am doing the practice right at 9:30 Pacific time, but I'll hand it over to Denny Shea. Thanks, everybody.